Nick Wilson on Afternoon Drive. We got Macaroni Baloney, Mac Robinson on the board. We got Sweet Young Thing, Jax Gregory behind the glassy knoll. We've also got Meredith on the 2020s. Meredith Kane, that is. Got to get the full name out there. Want to be respectful. Everybody's got a full name. Got to give the government name. And across from me, the Germinator. Spencer German's my co-host for the next 5 hours. Hi, buddy.
What's up? You sound like a robot in my headphones right now.
Which part? Like just, everything?
Yeah, like everything.
I think that's your headphones.
No, it is. Okay. I got these new adapters because I usually just like borrow one from somebody's locker. I don't know whose locker it is. Whoever they are, they're a real hero. They're a patriot.
They probably hate you.
Yeah, they probably do. I mean, I put it back every time, like in the exact same spot. So I don't even know if they know.
Uh-huh.
But I'm revealing this on the air. And I was like, okay, finally time for me to be an adult and get my own adapters. And the adapter that I got
is junk.
Apparently just stinks.
Just stinks?
Don't buy the $3.99 ones on Amazon, apparently.
How robot-y do I sound? Like, is it beep bop boop bop?
Yeah, it's like real bad.
Is it more like
that's
just
why I have
weird
one earphone in and one earphone out so that I can actually make sure I hear you?
Would you like those? Actually, just take the adapter.
I was going to say, I just need the, I mean, I've used these headphones before.
Yeah.
It's just the adapter.
Just take the tip off
problem.
That and put it on. You'll
Let's
be
see how this goes. Let's see.
By the way, it's a hump day! Oh, what a day. What a day to be here. What a day to be alive. It's oddly 78 today. I don't know what to make of that. Global warming? I don't know. End of the world? I don't know. I do know I like it. Until there's consequences to come, I do like it. But no, speaking of consequences to come, you're out in Berea today. Were you surprised to hear Kevin Stefanski speak? Let's go ahead and cue that up, Matt, because I think I just want to play it for people where he basically Kevin Stefanski made an announcement on Jameis Winston and the quarterback position, only to then turn around and kind of couch it.
Mentioned the other day that Jameis will continue to be the starter. Are you naming him the starter for the rest of the season, or was this over week to week?
Yeah, I mean, like, yes, but as you know in football, we're all day to day.
This is very, very close to I have concepts of a plan. All right, like this is well, of course, that is my plan. But football also changes plans all the time. Like, he should have just said yes. And then, because listen, if you're going to lie, it's okay. I don't believe him for a second. I don't believe that they have any intention of, based off one game. There might come a time in the very, very near future where I think Jameis, where it's going to be obvious. If they just keep winning, that's Jameis' thing. They keep winning and they're not winning in spite of Jameis. And Jameis is making enough big plays, he's going to keep starting. That's just common sense. We also know if the real, 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 real bad version of Jameis shows up on Sunday, it's going to be a real conversation going into the bye because you'd have 2 weeks to get DTR ready, right? Or are you just taking what he said as the gospel?
Well, I think the other layer to this is obviously with the trade deadline being a week away, and we know that there is at least some conversations to be had there. Like if he plays well for a second consecutive week, do you flip him in a trade? I just think this is Stefanski basically leaving like all options on the table. This is him being like, we're all week to week. Next week he could get traded. Next week he could be absolutely god-awful, like you mentioned, the terrible version of Jameis. And we might decide it's time to start evaluating DTR because now we have 7 losses and our playoff chances are like slim to none.
That is the beauty of every Kevin Stefanski answer. At some point, it is, and this is the second time I've said this, a Rorschach test. Like, it's just like, what did you want to hear? Well, if you wanted them to dangle Jameis, you heard, well, it is the NFL. Oh, it's out of my hands. It's Andrew Berry's decision. If you want Jameis to be the starter because you're locked in after one game, all you heard was yes. Like, this is the beauty of saying nothing, is that at some point you can just apply meaning however you want it to be.
Yeah, he's very good at that. He's very good at just like having the open-ended answers. You don't think he's good at like having the open-ended answers that like give you kind of both?
No, because I think he also butchers things way. But because it's so gray,
we need to go back to the post 2021 season press conference where him and Andrew Berry both said that they still believed in Baker and figure out, because all we really remember is that line. And we forget what they said after that.
Well, they did believe in him. They just believed him in Carolina more than they believed in him in Cleveland, right? Like, I think that context, 8 hours away, is better. Like, I believe in him more in that way than I do here, right? It's like when people are like, what do you think of your brother-in-law? I'm like, he's a great guy. the farther he is away from me.
As soon as you start a line with a great guy, I think we all know where this thing's headed.
Yeah, which by the way, there's a lot to get into, which is Jameis in general, because Jameis had a couple more things that Jameis, like, it really should be, like, my Twitter handle, at Nick Wilson Says, is at Nick Wilson Says. It really should be at Jameis Winston Says, because he just says. He just says things, and it happens. So I do think, like, listen, I think, again, if we're going back to the Rorschach idea, I do think you can take this as a message to DTR, as a, hey, man, we've gone to you twice. You've act surprised both times that you've had to go into an NFL game. Like, we're going to make you feel as on the outside of this as possible so that the next time we go, be ready. Your ass is actually ready.
Well, it was weird that he wasn't ready this time. Because, like, the Ravens game last year, I understood. That was like, that whole situation was odd, where that was where the whole, like, Deshaun Watson being day-to-day thing started, and they were very vague about it all week, and then we didn't know really going in, and then all of a sudden it was like we woke up and, oh, DTR starting. Okay, nobody saw that coming. But, like, last week, he was listed as quarterback two, and there was conversations that, like, it sounded like they were sort of preparing him to be quarterback two for that game, so why wasn't he more prepared, I guess?
Maybe he's just super literal. Maybe he's, you know, like, I have a kid like this.
You have to tell him he's starting.
Yeah, like, I have a kid that I have to be like, we are going to the store. I can't be like, you can go somewhere special. No, we are going to the store. Because the nebulous of we're going somewhere special, that could mean somewhere special to dad and not somewhere special
like,
to his.
We're going to the water park?
Yeah. Well, yes, exactly. Because then you go, we're going to the store, and then she's like, oh, I guess we're not going to Kaleidoscope. Okay, cool. Maybe DTR is of the younger generation, and you just have to walk up, look eye to eye, and go, DTR, we're going to play you this weekend. You will
like
back
a toddler,
up.
Like he's a toddler, yeah.
But it's so funny that the conversation around Jameis that is just so interesting is, because I like saying this is like shouting into the wind today. Right, like trying to have a real conversation about Jameis today is null and void because people are it's too good off the goofy juice from 1 week. And so I know that this conversation is going to land differently if he plays differently against the Chargers. He is week to week. And that's where he should be, because Jameis is a lot like Joe in the fact that if he can keep the turnovers to an acceptable, that you will not limit turnovers with Jameis.
Except on Sunday. Somehow they limited it on Sunday, except for the strip sack.
Yeah, and the three almost
interceptions.
And
that was kind of his fault because that one looked like one where he was supposed to sort of tell them to block the extra guy, and he didn't.
I mean, if we go interceptable passes, he had three darn tootin' right on the nose.
So did Lamar. So.
No, but that's not the point. Like, Lamar's a MVP candidate. Jameis is Jameis to this point in his career. But if you can keep it within two turnovers per game, and then you've got to kind of counteract that with two or three touchdowns per game. That's how is how Jameis keeps this thing any longer than this weekend.
Not to say it's like apples to apples totally, but like it is sort of reminiscent of the Joe Flacco experience from last year. Joe Flacco had his interceptions. The Bears game comes to mind as a game where he threw multiple interceptions, but he had the ability to dig you out of that hole, and then lo and behold, they end up winning that game. So it's like it's the exact same thing.
Did you just say the same thing back to me that I said to you? I think you just pulled a Dustin. I think we saw Dustin here because Dustin was here to record some spots.
You didn't
mention just pulled
Joe
a
Flacco,
Dustin.
Did you?
I 100%.
I really didn't hear you mention Joe Flacco. It must be my headphones.
I said
headphones.
His name.
Must
I said
my
the
headphones.
Full name.
I'm sorry.
No. Yes. The headphones.
These damn
you
robotic
bleep.
Headphones.
Ah, man, if I could. I'm just trying to translate it through the robot. Through robot Nick Wilson. But no, I mean, I think he's week to week. And I think that's where he should be. Because, like, I think there's a danger in letting. Like, I think, okay, I think there's a calculated play here. If I take this to mean anything, all right? I think it's trying to tell the locker room, hey, we're solid, you're good, let's just, we're calm in the waters, go out there. The problem is, I don't know if that's necessarily the thing that works best for Jameis. And that's an I don't know. That's I'm not like trying to...
So what works best for Jameis then?
But I don't know. Like, I don't know if security is how you keep Jameis, because I think, listen, Jameis is always going to have to tame the tiger. All right? And he is the tiger. He is the guy that's going to be like, well, it's 3rd and 3 here, but I'm going to throw a 50-yard pass that makes no sense at all. Or it's 3rd and 3, and we've got the perfect 3rd down play, and I'm going to audible to something that makes absolutely no sense, which we did see. I think it was 3rd and 5, though. Or maybe it was 3rd and 1. I don't
know. You're talking about
the screen pass? The sweep. The sweep that, on first blast, I was like, Kevin Stefanski, I will fire you myself.
Because I actually thought the screen pass he audible to was the right call. I just don't think they blocked it right.
Yeah, but the sweep pass, like, that's the... Or audibling to get somebody a touchdown, which he did in New Orleans. Like, there's just
I'm still waiting for that. If this season continues going the direction that it's going, and Jameis really is the starter for the rest of the year, there'll be at least a couple of those.
Like I've said, it will always be entertaining with Jameis, and that is going to be something that endears him to Cleveland fans until it doesn't. But no, that's where I am. Like, so you say week to week, or are you taking it kind of bigger chunks, or are you saying I just need Jameis the rest of the year?
I think it's week to week, especially with the trade deadline looming, because to me, like, I still maintain, like, they could turn around on Monday and decide we are going to trade him because somebody's offering you the sun and the stars and the moon. I don't know. I mean, you're not going to – I say that. You're not going to get, like, a first-round pick for Jameis. But, like, if somebody threw a third-round pick at you, would you take that trade?
Yeah, I'd take it tomorrow. I don't think anybody's doing it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you somehow – if he plays well on Sunday and some team's like, man, we could use a quarterback like that, maybe somebody slips in and gives you something. I'm just saying.
That'd be the funniest thing in the NFL if somebody was like – if, like, the Chargers game was like – you guys heard about this Jameis Winston guy? He can ball.
Pretty good, but no. Yep, he can ball. But no, I think it starts there, and then it also just does divulge into, like, yeah, like if he gives you one of those classic Jameis games where there's multiple turnovers, multiple problems, and we have and you can tell that there's something, you know, he's giving you the same problems that are not going to help you win games, then yeah, I think you do pivot to DTR, and then it just becomes an evaluation game. I also think the record matters here. Because Kevin likes to play this quarterback gives us the best chance to win. And if you lose 2 more games, then I think it truly does just become about a DTR evaluation process anyway.
We got plenty to get to today. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, joins us at 4. Dave McMenamin of ESPN with LeBron in town with the Cavs. Bronny's here as well. That sounded a lot more insulting than I really wanted it to be. Bron and Bronny are here. Dave's going to join us at 4:40. We'll get into, is this LeBron's last go-round in Cleveland? Which feels, guys, he's going to tell us. But we'll get to that. We also have Daryl Ryder coming up at 6 as well. The 5 at 5, predictably at 5. But 216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Spencito _ social media reactions on X. Powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Kevin Stefanski says it's his plan to start Jameis the rest of the season, but football happens. Are you buying Kevin Stefanski putting Jameis as the starter the rest of the way and the path forward for the Browns and Jameis next on 92.3 The Fan? Nick Wilson, Spencer German back on Afternoon Drive. We're having the conversation about Jameis Winston and about Kevin Stefanski's comments today that his plan is to start Jameis for the rest of the season, but we're all week to week in football, which was the mother of all.
Aren't we all week to week just in general?
I mean, I'm kind of day to day. Like, I'm just, I every morning I wake up and I'm like, okay, I'll do it. All right, I'll go to work. I'll be an adult. And I'm mostly doing it because I think my kids need that right now. Like, every day my kids wake up and like, do we have to? And I'm like, yeah, but I can't let them know that I have that exact same thought. Like, the first thought is, it's 6 a.m., you got to go wake up your oldest kid. My second thought is, the dog is laying on my feet again. And then, because he just gets super excited, he's like, dad's up, awesome, time to party. And then the third thought is, we going to do it? Okay, I think we'll do it. All right, I mean, we don't really have a lot of options beyond this, and at some point, work is going to catch on. But, no, I mean, I think... It's interesting. Like, I don't think, like, I think Jameis is the only guy. Well, okay, no. I think DeJuan Jones might be week to week as well. Like, I think
that's probably fair.
I still don't know that Jameis is actually hurt. I still am a little conspiratorial Jedrick.
I was going to say.
Got my J's mixed up.
I was like,
up.
Did I miss something?
These things happen.
Did Jameis injure himself today?
But not yet. But he is capable of it.
Yeah, he's week to week, as we know.
With Jed, like, I still don't know. I buy 100% that he has some sort of malady going on. Like, it's a quiet benching instead of quiet quitting.
Yeah.
But, like, I do think DeJuan is week to week.
Well,
I think that's a guy that's playing for something like 2 weeks from now, as opposed to most guys who are pretty much guaranteed their spot.
I think that the DeJuan situation is an interesting one, because we talk about, like, evaluating different positions. I think he does have some runway here, because right now your options at left tackle aren't great anyway, like, unless you try Jack Conklin over there and that's what you decide to do. But given where the season's at, it's either, all right, let's keep putting Jet out there and see if we really are going to give him a contract extension, or let's see if DeJuan Jones can actually play this position now that he's slimmed down a little bit and he's a little bit healthier than he was because he had a couple weeks off. And if so, then maybe we find our left tackle of the future here and we don't have to worry about Jet Wills anymore. So the difference with that situation is, like, they don't really have a lot of other places to turn. Like, it's either back to Jed or it's DeJuan, and I think we kind of know what we're getting with Jed at this point, so why not?
Yeah, but real quick on that, because when I've said, like, the easiest win in the world is if this season is over, if you want to regain the locker room, is bench Jed's ass. Like, they can like the guy. If you and I can see that he's not playing through the whistle, and by the way, that goes back to Bill Callahan saying it his rookie year, his sophomore year, his junior year. By the way, last year, heading into year four, now in year five, like, at some point, it's just who you are. That's fine. I don't dislike you. I can't trust you. But, like, it's just weird that, like, specific to DeJuan, like, the whole thing, the reason why nobody else got a crack at left tackle was, well, who are they going to put over there? And every time you said, well, what about DeJuan? It was, well, they don't think he's a... And so that, doesn't this disprove that? That doesn't this kind of, like... They clearly were paying. They're clearly playing Jed for the same reason they were clearly playing Deshaun, and that's the money and any hopes at extending that investment.
Yeah, yeah. The difference is Deshaun. You already had paid, and it was like you're sort of locked into this thing, so you kind of have to. Jed, it was more. All right, let's get one final look at whether or not we're really going to extend this guy, because we probably want to, because he's a first round pick and he's Andrew Berry's first round pick. So, yeah, like, but the situations are similar in that way. In relation to the Jameis thing, though, what's also interesting about the way Kevin worded that today is that we're only 2 weeks removed from him, emphatically announcing that Deshaun is the starting quarterback and he gives him the best chance to win. And now you're at a point where Jameis is out there and has the best game that any quarterback has had this season. And the best he could do was, he's our starter, but as you know, we're week to week.
So it's
there was no week to week with Deshaun. There was never he's our starter because he gives us the best chance to win. But, you know, we're all week to week. It was an emphatic thing that he was the starting quarterback.
But that's kind of what makes it so interesting, is I don't know if they're aware of this or not. Kevin could come out and say anything right now. Kevin could come out and just unload his deepest, darkest thoughts. And we'd kind of all go, and? Like, Kevin's credibility with fans is nil. And maybe that's not his fault. But, like, I'll be honest with you.
Is it nil, though? I don't know.
Well, no. I should say with messaging.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I meant, like, when he says something. Okay. So, like, even...
Because I was going to say, I know there's a contingent of fans that are ready to fire Kevin Stefanski and have been for several years. But I also know there's a contingent of fans who are like, that's our guy. He's 2-time coach of the year. So that's why I was confused. But it makes sense what you're saying.
Yeah. So, but I do think, like, you know, if Kevin... I think couching this opens it up to... I think it confirms that I really do think Jameis is week to week. Like, in the truest sense of the word. Like, if you go out there and throw three picks and you lose to the Chargers, it's back to the drawing board heading into the bye week, because 2 weeks might be just enough time to see if DTR actually knows he's going to play against New Orleans. But with that, he could have come out. Kevin could have just said, yes, my plan going forward is to start Jameis Winston for the rest of the year. And I would not have believed him. And it's not just the Deshaun thing. One, Kevin is bad when he does try to give details. And two, in most of the time, he spends it saying nothing at all. And so the genius of this is, well, no one's going to hold you accountable for your words, because you just don't stand for anything when it comes to dealing with the PR. The danger of it is, no one's going to believe you, even if you tell the biggest truth you have right to everybody in the eye, because it's like, I don't know what this guy's driving at. He doesn't strike me as a guy who speaks the truth. I wonder whether that impacts the locker room or not.
Well, and I think that, honestly, his comments today sort of does speak to the entire locker room as a whole. Like, I think, just like Jameis, I think everybody is kind of under a state of evaluation right now. I said it last night, like, this game on Sunday is, And I know you can go back each week and say, this is the biggest game of the season, this is the biggest game of the season. But I do think like this game Sunday basically determines where the Browns go from here in 2024. If they win this game on Sunday, I do think they'll spend the bye week talking themselves into, and the couple days before the trade deadline officially hits, they'll spend a couple days kind of talking themselves into this idea of, well, hey, we have a bye week. We come out, we play a bad Saints team. Maybe we can start building some momentum. Like, they'll talk themselves into this idea that they can still make a run down the stretch of the season. But in the same breath, like, if they lose on Sunday, then I think it becomes about, like, not just Jameis, but, like, what pieces and parts are still going to be here after the bye week anyway, because maybe we can start now accumulating draft picks. Because once you get to 7 losses, you know that your margin for error is basically, like, nil, because at that point, like, you got to basically win out to have a really good shot. You could maybe be 9-8.
Is there really a difference between six losses and 7 wins at this point in the season?
Well, you were 11-6 last year.
Doesn't this just feel like a spot? If they lost, doesn't it? Well, yeah, but, like, okay, to get to 9 wins, which I don't know gets you in the playoffs, you have to go 7-2. And the problem is, this thing becomes a gauntlet after New Orleans. Pittsburgh twice, yeah. Baltimore again, Cincinnati again, Kansas City, Miami.
Miami, which is whatever, but they have Tua back, and if he can stay healthy, yeah.
Like, that's just, I hear what you're saying, yeah. And I do, we'll get into more of that.
My larger point is just that I think this was, like, him saying, and he did say, to be fair, he did say the word we, like, we are all week to week in football. I do think, like,
You're starting to do the dangerous thing of applying too much meaning to Kevin, by the way. We're parsing the words to a paralytical part.
I'm not trying to say he meant that like wholeheartedly as like everybody on the team, but I do think it speaks to the idea that like the entire team right now is kind of in an evaluation mode. Like they're evaluating everything before the deadline. They're evaluating everything once they play this game on Sunday, the deadline finally hits and it expires in terms of who's going to be here next year. So, I do think like everything is getting evaluated, Jameis included, which is why, to your point, I don't believe that we know for sure Jameis is going to start the rest of the season.
So, I guess this is where kind of we go, because I do want to get back to the deadline and where you are and the weight of this Chargers game, because I think there's a lot of there to get into. But specific to the Jameis stuff, do you see a path forward for Jameis to become the guy?
I mean, if they go on some magical run and he's, you know, playing really good football, even if they don't make the playoffs, though, like, I could see them talking themselves into, okay, like, we had this with Flacco last year and we didn't bring the guy back, but we can't possibly try to salvage this thing with Deshaun anymore, so we need some stability there. So, yeah, I could 100% see them if they get at least the quarterback play that we... I understand that Jameis is kind of risk-averse the way he plays, like we sort of said in the same way Joe Flacco was, but I don't know that they'd make that same mistake twice of being like, all right, we're going to let this guy walk for nothing. I think they would actually consider bringing that guy back and being like, you're going to be our starter even if they draft a rookie quarterback and kind of use Jameis as kind of a bridge in that situation.
So I think there's a few things we know in this situation, and there's a few things we don't know. Point blank, Jameis Winston is more than talented enough to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, everyone scoffed, because he said it a few times, I know when I'm playing my best ball, I'm an elite quarterback in the NFL. I disagree with that statement. But when it comes to what makes a difference in 2024, which is, can you make big plays? Jameis is. Like, that guy is a big play waiting to happen because he has a howitzer for a right arm, and he does have some brass ones on him, almost to the point of stupidity sometimes, yeah. But yeah, they're brass, and they're sizable.
let me put it to you this way. The
first comment on his set. I'm kidding. Don't do it.
Well, Nick, I was in the locker room. No.
Sketch it on a pad.
What?
Don't.
What a lot of fans were saying about Deshaun at the beginning of the season, where they were like, if he can just be this level of quarterback, if he can just be a top 15 quarterback in football, I think we have a good chance of winning. I feel more confident that Jameis can be that guy for you than what Deshaun Watson was. And the difference is, like, you kind of, like, that's the bar for Jameis. There's no, like, hanging over the head where it was with Deshaun, where it was like, Well, if he can just be this, that's great. But he still should be this because this is what you traded for and this is what he used to be. With Jameis, it's like he's never been a top five quarterback. He's never been a top 10 quarterback. But if he can be in that sort of middle group, he is the quarterback that fans thought Deshaun could be this year that at least keeps you competitive enough to make the playoffs and maybe do something special. And for that reason, I could see the Browns being like, hey, let's bring him back this time, unlike we did with Flacco. He is younger, significantly younger than Flacco, so that helps the cause a little bit here. And he can kind of be our bridge to this new era with whatever quarterback we end up drafting this year, next year, whatever.
So it's interesting. I think, and listen, I think fans enjoyed what they saw on Sunday. But I think a fair amount of people are where with Jameis after one game, where I think a lot of people were with Deshaun coming into this season. Where, like, when we would talk about, can Deshaun be a top 10 quarterback? We knew people were listening. But, man, nobody wanted to step on that ledge. Nobody wanted to say, yep, this is the guy, and this is why he's the guy. And there's a lot of things that go into that. Like, we kind of started the conversation on. But that's what I think it makes Sunday so interesting. Because I don't think Browns fans are going to need a lot of convincing that Jameis can be the guy. Because the expectations are woefully different from Deshaun. Whereas, like, I think Browns fans going into the season, I think there was a lot of quiet, like, I don't really know what this is, a lot of anxiety around it. And for Deshaun to lull that and get people on the bandwagon, it was going to take 8 straight weeks of good football for people to be like, he's our guy, let's go win this damn thing. With Jameis, because the end goal has changed and your responsibility to him financially is different, I don't think it's going to take 8 games. But man, I got to tell you, for his standing here, because this team will not bench him if he's the hot hand and fans are chanting his name. It's not going to happen. They're smart enough to know that's not the time to pick the fight with a fan base you've already got good and pissed off. But good, like, entertaining might not be enough for this Sunday. Like, doubling up the performance of last Sunday with limited interceptions and a lot of big plays, like, that's when the conversation begins. I don't think it should have begun. I think the fans were kind of sitting back and going, I don't know. Like, I like him. He seems cool. Little off. Little bit of a weird dude. But, like, I kind of like the energy. Like, the people who I think are cautiously optimistic or cautiously interested in Jameis, I don't think it's going to take much more than going out in this game. But I think what's interesting, if he has something in between that, what he did on Sunday, and what is, like, the quintessential Jameis performance.
Yeah.
And I think we're in a really interesting spot with Jameis in a way that I don't have a lot of definitive answers. And I feel like Browns fans and me are in lockstep here of, like, I don't know. Like, yeah. Maybe. He's not Deshaun. I'll take that to the bank.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I mean, obviously the offense wasn't what it was under Deshaun either, and that's a huge step in the right direction. I mean, yeah, like, one game you can always write it off potentially as just, well, hey, it's a one game sample size. Anybody can have a good day one day. But if he does it again and he comes close to what he did this past weekend, that's where it's, and the sample size would still be small. It's only 2 games, but it's like, that's where people start to believe, like, okay, we have our answer. This wasn't just some, like, cosmic fluke. So it just reaffirms that. I 100% agree.
216-474-0092. Is there a path forward for Jameis to be the guy, not just the rest of the season, but moving forward with the Browns? And I think the biggest obstacle that Jameis has to clear is one that I'm not sure how and if he can do it. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Back on Afternoon Drive, we got Ross Tucker coming up in about an hour and a half. We're going to talk to Ross at 4 o'clock. We're going to get his thoughts. He threw something out on Twitter that I think we got to really get into here. And then we also got to get into the situation with the Browns. And it's interesting. Like, I right now, where we are is, can Jameis finish off the regular season as starter? And I do think that there's a path on that. It's called make it consistently competitive and fun to watch. And I think the Browns are realistic that, like, unless you were to win this weekend, which then restarts a clock in a different conversation, because then you have New Orleans and there's a possibility of going 4-6. And then all of a sudden, all those conversations we should be putting at bay right now become real conversations. So for right now, the conversation needs to be, well, can he just stay on the field for the rest of the season? But I understand the impulse to jump beyond this, because with the way this quarterback class is structured, even if you're high enough to take one of the two, three, four best quarterbacks in this draft, this is probably not a class you're just going to roll a guy out on the field and make him the quarterback. So the idea that you need a bridge quarterback, I think, is becoming a real possibility here. And that's going to have to be somebody affordable, like somebody who not a lot of teams are going to line up to go ahead and sign as their starter, a la where I think Jameis would be even after a good half season here.
So I guess the only question off of that becomes, does he play himself into getting... I guess if the Browns are planning on him being the starter, but, like, you know, situation is everything. Would he come back here knowing, like, there's a rookie that's there, that the second things go awry, they're going to give it over to him? Or would he have other options in terms of, like, another situation where he could be a starter?
I think he's going to have the same market that Joe Flacco had. Whereas I think this might reinvent...
You think other teams are going to try to do what the Browns would potentially do with him, which is, we have this rookie, we want you to play behind him type thing.
Or but Jacoby here, Brissett.
Here it might be, you actually are going to start and want the rookie to play behind you.
And you might actually be able to convince Jameis that, hey, we'll give you a full season even.
Do you think, given his emphatic speech after the whole Deshaun Watson thing, do you think that would turn him off to potentially re-signing here? And I understand that comes under with the understanding that, like, he said what he said this past week and how it was a win for the fans, and it seems like they've now, like, broken bread and it's all kumbaya now and everyone's all on good terms. But that doesn't mean, like, the players forget about that stuff either. Like, I don't think Shelby Harris is back next year after his deal's up.
Yeah, because you're not going to pay Shelby enough to forget it. Like, Shelby's a guy at this point, and I didn't mean that disrespectfully to Shelby.
That is true. Money is loud.
He's a guy that's going to be a $2 or $3 or $4 million player at best on a one-year deal somewhere. Yeah, maybe he can get that anywhere. With Jameis, you throw $10 to $12 million at him and an opportunity to start, that's probably more than he's going to get anywhere. Yeah. And by the way, it might be an $8 million deal. It might be almost exactly what he got to be the backup this year, or what Joe got to be the backup in Indy, and now he has a chance to start again. But I do think what you're saying right there is, I do think, like, I don't think the turnovers are the biggest hill that he has to climb. I don't think teams, and I think this is pretty consistent, I don't think teams trust Jameis. Whether it was the goal line play in New Orleans, where he switched it to be a touchdown in a route, which was not a good look. And again, his teammates loved him for it. Coaches don't, that's a bad look. That is a needless question that you have to ask. I think that kind of stuff, and quite frankly, I think his where I was raised speech, I think is another thing that hurts him more in Cleveland than maybe it hurts Cleveland for him.
Why?
Does that make sense? Because I don't think it plays. I think there's a reason why going into this week, there were whispers out there, or not even reports, but there was conjecture out there that the Browns organization had already tired on Jameis a little bit. There's a reason he wasn't active for Cincinnati. And it wasn't, guys, don't believe Kevin Stefanski. It absolutely had nothing to do with the short goal line package. And by the way, everybody goes, well, they like DTR. Yes, he's on the roster. Of course they like him. There's a lot of people that I like. That's the difference than... Like, in no way is DTR ready to be the backup over Jameis. And that is what that Cincinnati game bore fruit on. But, like, that was a ill-advised, we could see that coming from a mile away, unless you had just decided, it ain't about winning, we're going to develop the kid and see where it goes. Which, by the way, you don't do that with fifth-round pick quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You do that with second-round quarterbacks. But with more than half a season to go, you don't go, I got to find out what you have. Like, we got to get rid of that in the cliche machine. That is some weird voodoo that everybody's just glommed onto. That's not applicable of every situation. We drafted this guy 4 years ago. We got to see what... No. You know. Like, within reasonable doubt, you know if a guy has the goods or whether he's a good backup or whatnot.
I mean, I don't know. I do think on some level, like, depending on your situation. Like, if the Browns didn't have Jameis Winston... Like, say they had just started the season with two quarterbacks and it was Deshaun and DTR. I could see them just making the case for, like, where they were at. Like, let's just trot them out there and see what we have. Like,
do you realize how reckless starting any conversation in the NFL
is? Isn't that basically what Hugh Jackson did for 2 years, was just see what they had in quarterback and different quarterbacks?
Like, what you just described is when, like, my kid's like, Dad, can I watch Deadpool? and I'm a little bit of glaucoma medication and a couple harvest mules in, and I'm like, ah, your mom will never find out. No good decision ever started
To my Hugh Jackson example, I guess that's why Hugh Jackson was as unsuccessful as he was. But wasn't that basically what he did for 2 years? Was like, let's see what we have in XYZ player, and it was nothing good. And that's why, other than, I guess, Myles Garrett.
I'm going to reserve my comments on Hugh Jackson. Because
why? What do you have to protect Hugh Jackson for? You have Mike Silver shill or something?
No,
over here?
At some point I just am tired of kicking a man when he's down. Like, no, he went from being.
I don't think it ever gets old kicking that man. Because here's the thing.
No, he does.
No. Because here's the thing. Every time you think like, all right, Hugh Jackson has had his due. We have thrown dirt on him for far long enough. Let's just let that man live. Then he goes and does some random podcast where he brings up like, oh yeah, you know. I was the real brains of the operation in Cleveland. They didn't give me enough power, but I knew everything that I was doing. And then you're like, this guy just can't stop talking. Just admit that you did something wrong. You weren't right all the time.
He was a bad head coach and insincere. I can't hate him for that. Like, he never struck me as a bad guy. Just honestly.
Until you watched Hard Knocks.
I kind of think Hugh and Jameis, they're kind of in same territory of a guy that says stuff. Half the time you're like, does he really believe that? Is that really what he thinks? And when you win, oh, it's kooky. It's so fun. He didn't know at Swenson's they put the thing in the door. Hey, wasn't that funny? And then when you lose, it's like, is he a moron?
Well, that's what's
like. That's what Hugh got away with for 2 years until everyone was like, he's saying a lot of stuff here that doesn't make sense, and they're losing.
Well, that is also what the root of it. Like, what's so funny about the rumors that the organization was getting maybe a little bit fed up with Jameis because. All of a sudden,
I just smirked.
I know. All of a sudden, if you're playing winning football, you can forget all those quirky speeches and all the other stuff. And now we love Jameis. I don't care that he quotes Eminem lyrics on his post game interview anymore.
Well, don't be surprised if he has a bad game on Sunday. If any of that stuff comes back,
or if he's just instantly like. The Browns are shopping Jameis Winston at the trade deadline.
Or, I mean, listen, because the trade deadline's on Monday, don't be surprised Tuesday. If it's as simple as, yeah. Well, okay, but I'd like to think of it on Monday. But no, since it's on Tuesday.
You can't split Tuesday's election day, well, the trade deadline's Monday. Yeah, you can't have it all on the same day.
My trade deadline's on Monday. That's when I'm cutting off trades. The rest of the league, okay. I'm ahead of the rest of the league. Everybody knows that. But no, that's why... This herky-jerky thing, you could go from he's the starter for the rest of the year, or he's the starter from here on out, but we're all week to week, to, hey, Jameis is going to Miami for a third-round pick, or Jameis is going here for a fourth-round pick. Like, it's just a really interesting situation. And again, Jameis, the person, I think there's reasons, whether it's fair or not, there are reasons why teams don't, quote-unquote, trust him in situations like to be the starter.
So I have a question, and maybe we can ask this and answer on the other side.
Let's ask it on the other side. You know what? Send it a break with a question, and that'll be the tease.
So if they win on Sunday, but Jameis just plays okay, and he has a couple turnovers, and it's not his best performance, are you locked into him being the starter the rest of the way?